Today's Stripe Show podcast is brought to you by About Golf Simulators. I see you dancing, Keith Stewart, over there, live. What? Stripe Show podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton, and back from Las Vegas and dancing and feeling good after his third LPGA Tour victory in the last 6 weeks, folks. He joins us at Read the Line. Keith Stewart, how are you, sir?
Man, I love that. You know I love that theme song. It gets me going. When I hear that thing going, oh, man, I know it's Tuesday, and I know it's time to print some money. So let's get into it. Zozo. Well,
congratulations. You're the king for many reasons, and one of those is your ability to pick not only PGA Tour, but LPGA Tour. So, folks, if you want great insight, you need to go at Read the Line. I've never steered you wrong here, folks. I've never steered you wrong, and I'm not right now. Speaking of getting excited, I don't know what's going on out there in Las Vegas at TPC Summerlin, but I don't see a whole lot of people watching that tournament getting excited about professional golf. Where in the hell are the customers at TPC Summerlin? My gosh, it's like watching a live event in Saudi Arabia.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's they're all just standing outside the sphere staring at it, is what it comes down to.
I think so.
It's although you know what? I spent Friday morning walking around with Lexi, and she had a nice little crowd going there. I think everyone on property was following her, but at least it, you know, from a TV perspective, I'm sure it looked pretty good there on the stream. She had a good week.
Yeah. She did.
And I'm happy for that because, as you know, and thank you for that, you know, the LPGA definitely doesn't get its due. Certainly, we've been warm, to say the least, at Read the Line lately, picking LPGA winners. But they're also where the Zozo is going to be. They're playing golf at night right now, the last 2 weeks. And Angel Yin gave us 50-1 this past weekend on Saturday night when you woke up Sunday morning. A really cool story there. You know, she lost to Lilia Vu in the first major of the year in a playoff, and she had the lead going into the final hole, and she lost, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's not a major championship, but she just won last week in a playoff, sealing the deal, birdie in the first hole over Lilia Vu. So a nice little, you know, story there. I know you always like to look at players and how they develop over time, and Angel Yin is one of those people who benefited from the Solheim Cup. She had a lot of confidence there from her teammates. And I knew like the next time that I was going to target a player like her in an event, I was going to pick her 50-1, huge hit this weekend. And I tell you what, I was almost even surprised at some point that Lexi didn't make the weekend. I mean, she was hitting it that good. Yeah. And to be honest with you, following the LPGA all year, we had no reason to think that she would hit it that great there, Travis. And I'm telling you, man, she hit it really good. I mean, really, really good. The gaps like in her short game, her best statistical category this year on tour, and there haven't been many, has been her putter. So I thought the putter would be fine. I thought the greens might even be in better condition than what she's used to on the LPGA tour. So I thought the putter would be good. She drove the ball great. Yeah. The guys she played with was a weird group, and they were great. I just thought, you know, the last hole, everyone's like, oh, you know, she's got a birdie to make the cut. I said, I don't think these folks really know that what the cut's going to be. I don't think it was going to be close, and it ended up not being close. She was a couple strokes away, but man, she shot in the 60s on Friday. I walked with her for probably 15 of those holes. I thought it was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it landed great. You know, look, Lexi is an important figure, and I don't know if she does herself any favors when it comes to the media on the LPGA Tour side. I think that's pretty evident. When you look at her last week, early in the week, I thought she handled herself really well. She came across very confident. She looked excited. She looked focused. I just thought it was fantastic. I just watched her and I was like, wow, why is that Lexi Thompson? You know, I mean, that is what, at least in my eyes, is how it should land when she's in front of a microphone. And so I just thought she did a great job with that. She went out. We know she's got skills. She can hit it a mile off the tee, and she played well. So I was really happy for her. Just both on the golf course and off the golf course. Will it grow the game? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much that really grows the game. I think it served her well. I think it probably did serve the LPGA Tour well to some degree. But do those things really grow the game? I don't know. I don't know how to really quantify that. I just know that she really handled herself extremely well. Now, that tournament, gosh, I mean, I'm just dumbfounded by where everybody's at there. There's just no energy when it comes to watching that tournament on the golf course. And it's Las Vegas, for crying out loud. And things are usually done big, like this sphere that you've got this figure looking at you while you're hitting a shot. I mean, some of the videos of that is hilarious, but gosh, I don't know. Do you have to bring slot machines out there? I mean, do we have to set up a tent next to the tee, and in one tent you've got craps, and in the other tent you got 21, and then the other tent you got Pai Gow, and people are playing in these tents around the tee while, you know, the players are hitting? I don't know. I mean, is that where we got to get this thing to maybe get a couple hundred people to be hanging around?
You know, I was out in Vegas and I was walking some holes with a good friend of mine, and he brought up a really good point. And he said, you know, Vegas is the best branded city in the world. Right. And I was like, so I started thinking about it. I go, you know, he's probably right about that. And why each hole doesn't have, like, you know, an Eiffel Tower, and then the next one has a sphere, and the next one doesn't have, you know, I don't know, the Wynn logo or something. I don't know if that's a PGA Tour thing.
I want a baby sphere.
Dude, the sphere is crazy. It's so crazy. I mean, I'm surprised there's not more accidents. Like, everyone's driving around just staring at this thing like zombies. They're just like looking up. It's so big, and it's the outside is like a high definition TV. It is insane. And I can't even imagine what it's like inside listening to you too. I mean, I don't even know. It looks incredible.
All right. Well, Tom Kim goes back to back. You know, so he clearly likes that place. You know, a lot of people don't know, you know, he switched over to a Chris Como. I was texting with him over the weekend, and, you know, he started working with Chris back in June. He was with Cameron McCormick before that. And so I thought that was interesting, that switch, and kind of some of the direction that they've been heading on. And Chris and I have been talking. He's going to come on here in the next week. And so we got some cool stuff to share with you on that. But yeah, Tom Kim, he digs it. He digs TPC Summerlin.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is going to be better for your point or worse, but they got the most out of they could out of Shriners. I mean, Tom Kim winning, you know, he's the highest ranked golfer there. He was the favorite. And then, of course, having Lexi, you know, almost make the cut. I mean, they maxed that thing out. And let's be honest, you know, even though we've seen some really, really great golf this fall, nothing's moving the needle. They had every chance to move the needle there, and it would have been nice to see that thing branded out a little bit more, but it's just not. And we're off to Tokyo.
We're off to Tokyo. Let's go. Here we go. Zozo Championship. Actually, real quick before we go there, let's take a quick swing around the globe over to Saudi Arabia. I'm sure you're watching. You know, Taylor Gooch gets the season-long race for them on the individual title, and Brooks Koepka, you know, he's getting interviewed, and they said, hey, do you know you finished fourth? And he's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, you know, you finished fourth and you get $4 million for that. Oh really? Oh, great. I'll tell you, like, I feel like I have been very open-minded about LIV, and I've given it credit. I defend it in official world golf rankings. I think they deserve to get some points. Now, how many, I don't know, but the world's changing all around you, and to be that rigid, that's for another discussion.
But Brooks there reminds me of, you know, why Caddyshack still applies to this day. You know, Ty, you have an uncashed check for $10,000. Keep it. Brooks, you have an uncashed check for $4 million. Whatever.
So they want they want you to buy in, right? I mean, they want, like, this means something. This is meaningful golf. So we want you to tie in, and yet the players have made, they got so much money guaranteed that wait, what did you say? Yeah, you finish fourth. We do a season long, we do a race, and at the end, there's a bonus. And you got fourth, and you got, I mean, it was third. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But you inform, oh, wow. Okay, great. That's fantastic. Let's go.
Obviously doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Anyway, back around. Here we go. Japan. Here comes the golf course. Accordia Golf Narashino. Did I say it right?
Accordia Golf Narashino. I always think of Narashino cherries. So
it's in Japan. It's par 70. Three par fives. Five par threes, 10 par fours. Keegan Bradley won 15 under back in 2022. Hideki Matsuyama in 2021 was 15 under. Cantlay won it in 2020. That was in Sherwood, though, at 23. Yep. And then Tiger. Did you ever see my did you ever see my Halloween outfit after Tiger won, DeZozo?
No.
I'll text
you. Got a picture?
Oh,
yeah. All right. Yeah.
I'll text it to you. Yeah, I was Tiger after winning the Zozo for Halloween in 2019. And I made the, gosh darn it, I should have put it up here. But I made the trophy, the circle. And walked around and was dressed up as Tiger and walked around the neighborhood the entire day. And half people, because a lot of people got it because they work for the tour here. And so they got it. And then the other half were like, I don't get it. So anyway, Tiger in 19. What do we know about this course? What have we learned to this point? And what kind of player are we leaning towards, if any?
Well, I mean, just look at the last two. You would say, well, I don't think these guys are really the boss of the Moss, right? Hideki, ultimate ball striker. Keegan Bradley, very, very fine ball striker. Obviously, Tiger, he gained like a million strokes on the field. He gained like 17 strokes that year, tee to green, in 2019 when he won. And, you know, ultimate ball striker there. Very, very unique golf course. Par 70, 7,079 yards. So at first you look at that scorecard and you go, geez, that's super short by PGA Tour standards, but they have five par threes there.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, right there, you're going to lose like 200 yards off of, you know, basically another par four or something like that. It's a very varied golf course, and the types of golf shots you're going to hit, it's very polar. And what I mean by that, if you look at the par fours, they have 10 par fours, five of them are under 425 and five of them are over 485. There's none in the middle. And I think that really kind of goes into the theme or the narrative, which is you got to be a really good ball striker here. It's definitely tree lined. Last year, it was to Keegan's benefit for sure, being such a solid ball striker. Remember, the weather was bad. It was cold. It was rainy. Weather looks good this week. I've already looked at it. You know, I mean, it's not 80 degrees and sunny this time of year in Tokyo, but, you know, and kind of a cool side there. You know, that's the place that has the two greens on every hole. Mm-hmm. So they have two full green complexes on every hole. And then one has the cold weather grass and one has the warm weather grass. It's crazy. Imagine the money to take care of all that. Anyway, so I digress. But I think you really have to pay attention to a guy who could take over this golf course with his driver, put it in play, and then consistently hit long iron shots. You know, I mean, there's six holes that play over par relative to par, right? And five of them are those five long par fours. And one of them is the long par three. So at the end of the day, you know, if Victor Hovland was there, we'd be leaning on him. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why Colin Morikawa is maybe choosing this spot, and also with his Asian heritage, you know, like it's one of those things where like, this is a really good fit for him, because you don't have to putt great. You don't have to be a great short game player, but you do have to strike your ball. And, you know, we could go on at length, but I think par three and par four scoring are really important, as well as ball striking tee to green.
All right. So strokes and ball striking. Last 50 rounds in the field. Morikawa, Schauffele, List, Matsuyama, Aaron Rye, Doug Gim, Fowler, Siwoo, Adam Shank. Then we get down to my boy, Cameron Davis. There's Akshay Patia. You know, so that's kind of your first run there based off of your ranch. Strokes gain ball striking. Strokes gain par threes. Eric Cole, Shank, Griot, Novak, Carson Young, Putnam, Lashley, Morikawa. Yeah, you can see Morikawa as someone, as we go to the top of the board here, and as you look at the board, based off of what you just said, was there a name that you went to? Let's get to our first look, first click. Who was it?
I mean, I've been pulling the saddle tight on this guy all fall. I'm not going to stop now, and that's my man Cam Davis, right? Third at the Fortinet, right? Yep. Seventh this past week. There was a couple moments there where he had one or two missed shots there at the Shriners, but he could have won that thing. He was one shot out when he made eagle there on Sunday. Just the guys had too many holes behind him, and you knew that was coming. But I walked a bunch of holes with him last week, and that guy is on point. And a Shriners is not a place where a Cam Davis can really distance himself with his ball striking ability. Mm-hmm. And this place is. Same thing with a Keegan. Same thing. Yeah, if any of those guys get uber hot, I get it, right? But like on a golf course where, you know, maybe the winner is in that 15 to 17 range, that's a place where a guy that strikes it like Cam Davis and is as hot as he has been. I mean, that guy just carried on right through the playoffs. And now, you know, I can't say enough good things about him. And at least I'm getting over, you know, you're getting around 22, 24 at certain places. Maybe people, because Morikawa and Xander there, maybe he jumps to 25, but like, at least you're getting a little bit of value there in the outright market, but he could win in this thing. And he's for me, first click. There you go.
Yep. Well, you took one of mine. So, you know, I was on Davis, have been for the better part of the last couple months. I mean, this is a guy that, in the last six tournaments has finished in the top 10 five times. So
is that good?
Yeah, that's very good. And don't forget about Cam Davis. I think he's kind of learning how to putt too. And look, we have been touting Davis. I've been saying that I think this guy can enter that next level over the next year and win. He's got the complete game. He can drive the ball. His iron game, I think, is getting better. I think his short game has gotten better. And I think his putting got better. I feel like Cameron Davis is getting better across the board. He's kind of improved some of his weaknesses. And so it's really bubbling up here. And seventh at the Shriners, third at Fortinet. What a start to the fall for him. Yeah, I love Cam Davis. I'll give you another guy, and I'll let you shoot holes through it. He's just such an interesting guy to me. I love him just as a character, and that's Minwoo Lee. And the only reason I bring him up is, you know, on the Asian tour just recently, he won and shot 30 under. I mean, so the guy just played and made a ton of birdies. And we've seen Minwoo pop. You know, we've seen him pop in some big events at the Players and some major championships, some tournaments that, you know, maybe are going to finish around that 14, 15 under mark. So I don't know. Minwoo Lee is interesting to me. And I think a guy that deserves a look in the top. He's kind of moved up to the top of the board, although I got him at 20-1. Now he's down to 18 or 17 in most places. Do you give Minwoo much of a chance?
So, you know, I kind of anecdotally mentioned this earlier. This is the type of place where you could win with your driver. Mm-hmm. If you are long and accurate, and I'm thinking of another guy in the middle tier that we'll get to in a little bit, but Minwoo certainly is a guy who can win with his driver.
Yep.
He's super long and he can go nuclear scoring. I think for all the right reasons, that if you like Cam, you have to like Minwoo this week, you know? Yep. So yeah, I'm not going to poke any holes in that. I got to pick one guy at the top. And if we go head to head, I'm going to take Cam over Minwoo, just because of the recent form by Cam. But you know, it's funny. I was at the President's Cup last year at Quail Hollow. And Cam Davis was there and Tom Kim was there. And everybody was making a big deal about Tom Kim. And I was looking at the skill sets of both of those guys. And I was saying to myself, man, I think the ceiling is higher on Cam Davis than it is on Tom Kim. Honestly. And I think you bring up a really good point on how Cam Davis is getting better at the weaknesses in his game. And he's raising his floor.
Yes.
And I think that's really cool. And I honestly think this kid could be, you know, definitely top 15 in the world and win at least one time a year. You know, he has that level of ball strike. I mean, the ball striking last week, Travis, was a Stripe show. Pardon the pun, but it's intended. You know, I mean, it was good. And I don't have a problem with Minwoo. Everybody loves him this week. He's hot. He's got a lot of swag and everything. He'll have some great social media videos, but he backs it up with his play. But between those two, I'm going to go Cam.
Hey, look at the top, Xander. You know, he's there, guaranteed paycheck. So this is, feels like kind of a Xander maybe kind of moment. You know, he's won some short field kind of events. He's always going to be lingering. Morikawa, you certainly can think Morikawa. Morikawa likes this golf course. I guarantee it. He likes this course. Can he do enough with his putter? You know, Sungjae's kind of, I don't know. I feel like Im's disappeared a little bit from the conversation this year. It'd be interesting to ask Sungjae, hey, evaluate your year this year, good or bad. What do you think he'd say?
Man, that's a tough question.
It is.
But I'll say this much about Sungjae. He just got a major weight lifted off of his mind.
Yes, he did. Yeah, fair point.
Okay. Yep. So he and Siwoo, I know last week I would never get on Siwoo in Vegas because he likes the cards, right? But like, he and Siwoo over there with that big weight lifted off their shoulders, there's no more military. I mean, Tom Kim's got that now hanging over himself, you know, and he was asked that last week in the press room and he didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
He was asked a direct question. How do you feel about your mandatory military service coming up? And he's like, well, you know, there are ways that I can qualify to get out of it. And then he just went on to the next question, you know? So like those guys, that gave me the inclination that like those guys think about that.
Yep.
Right. We all saw what happened to Sangmun Bae, right? Mm-hmm. It derailed his career. And I think that you get into a point where, cause Sungjae age-wise and Siwoo age-wise, we're getting to that cutoff. And now they have that off there, you know, that monkey's off their back. I think that if you asked Sungjae, he would have said, I was distracted this year and now I'm ready to roll. Mm-hmm. And that could be a good
fair point.
I mean, it's a good golf course for him.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. No doubt.
I'd love to see Sungjae win. I'm not going to play him, but it would be after him doing his thing. I would be very happy for him.
Yeah.
If he won this tournament. So, okay, so now we start getting down. There's the defending champ. Let's do a little buy or sell here. Top 20, or perhaps maybe you like him better than a top 20 and you would consider sprinkling a little to win. Keegan Bradley didn't make the Ryder Cup. We haven't seen him. Defending champ, buy or sell, top 20. HackMotion is an innovative wrist analysis sensor and app that measures players' wrist and hand movement in the golf swing. With audio feedback and different drill modes, it offers the capability to improve players' wrist mechanics in the golf swing to provide a better club face control and impact position. HackMotion can be used for both full swing and putting to cover all golf shots. HackMotion is used by some of the top golf coaches today around the world. Visit HackMotion.com.
I think he's in revenge mode. I think he's top 20 for sure. I'm buying on that. I think it's very tough to defend. Especially there's some more hired guns in this field than there was last week against Tom Kim. I mean, you got 15 of the top 50 in the official world golf rankings, however official they are at this point. So I think top 20 for sure from Keegan. I'll go there. I'll buy.
Let's go to the next one. Adam Scott. You know, it's funny with Adam Scott before you answer. Top 20. Adam Scott kind of over the summer putted the lights out of the golf ball.
I mean,
like you look at his stats and I'm not sure he's ever had a run like that. Now he certainly had tournaments here and there, but a run of, I don't know, 6-7 events. I mean, we're talking unconscious at times. Positive 5. I see a positive 5.9 twice. Positive 4 the last time we saw him at Wyndham. Where's Adam Scott? Is he a little sleeper this week?
Well, it's been almost 2 full months since he's pegged it, right? He finished 7th. Seventh at the Wyndham, top 35. He was like 30th, 32 at the Open Championship, right? Mm-hmm. He had a good summer. Definitely an elite driver of the golf ball. For me, I mean, this argument's going to keep coming up as we go to buy or sell, right? So I'm going to sell on Adam Scott just to answer the question. But I have a tough time taking guys like Morikawa and Xander who haven't played in 7 weeks for stroke play or 9 weeks for Scott. I know they get four rounds and that helps them, but like against a guy like Cam Davis, who's been out there grinding and playing and shows and knows he can make birdies. So I'm going to sell on Scott, but if he was going to play an event the next week, then geez, I mean, he's at the level where you'd start buying pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready to buy in more to Bo Hostler getting closer to winning an event? Now, you and I, before we came on air, we talked about kind of who's trending, right? Who's moving in the right direction with their game. And obviously Cam Davis is one that comes to mind first. And I got to tell you, I think Bo Hostler is starting to show some growth as well. Yep. And it's a scary proposition if you're going to sprinkle a little on him to win. Now, a top 20, he's got three of those in his last six events? Yeah. And so you could convince me to buy Scheffler here because he can win with the driver. You know, he's gonna win with the driver. I see growth in his iron game. I see growth in his iron game. From an approach standpoint, I'm seeing some growth in a short game. And we know Bo Hostler will give you the putter. So I'll buy a Bo Hostler top 20, and I can't believe this is going to come out of my mouth, but I'm going to sprinkle a little on to win. And I don't know how I don't even know what I think of that. In fact, I've gone numb in my face saying that.
I've gone numb in my face saying that. man, oh man. I will buy on Bo Hostler, a top 20.
Okay.
He's looked good the last couple of weeks. I would not go any further than that. And the reason being is that his strength is the putter and short game. And that is not a place to differentiate yourself here. He's not at the level of ball striker yet to, I think, compete and push himself over the edge, in this field. I'm looking there. Right here. What did he finish there last year? I feel like it was like a top 20.
Yeah, it was. It was
right.
I just had it.
I think he was top 20 there last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pretty sure. I'm going to say like 16th or something. But you look it up while I'm furthering that point. So I would buy on Bo Hostler. His recent 16. Form is great. Was it 16?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So I thought I had that in the back of my head. So I think that it's just like, you know, winning splitting hairs, and he doesn't have that edge with the driver or the ball striking that's going to push him over the edge here. Where his edge comes into play is, you know, when they go to like Bermuda, I could see him winning because in and around those greens, you know, he could really get the job done, and the ball striking doesn't have to be perfect there, you know, like something like that. But I could see him winning. I mean, we all remember him at the Olympic when he was what, like 9 years old, and he was like, you know, on the top five of the leaderboard at that US Open. So big old, I mean, I think he was wearing the same size visor then as he does now, but, Bo is great. You know, I think he's working.
I like where he's going. I like where he's going. He's starting to get his feet. He's starting to get his feet underneath him. You know, he was part of that class of coming out with Scheffler and Doug Gim, and, you know, it took him a little while to get his feet underneath him. Scheffler took off, probably pissed him off. You know, again, we know can strike the ball, can't putt. He's in the field. So I don't know. I just feel like I'm starting to see some growth there. I feel like maybe he's a better player right now than he was last year when he was here and he finished T16. Yeah. And speaking of, you know, playing decent last year was our boy, let's see, Cameron Champ, who... It's Cameron Champ season. Last 2 weeks, he's played well. He played well here the last 2 years. T8, both years. And you look at him let's see, you look at him last week and he was what, T18. And then he was ninth at Sanderson Farm. So all of a sudden, from a Cameron Champ perspective, we're starting to see a little more consistency out of his irons. And we're starting to see the putter heat up a little bit here over the last couple weeks. Short game hasn't been a major liability. In fact, it was more of a strength last week. I don't know. Cameron Champ, been reading up on him a little bit. He feels like he's kind of got his swing to where he's, you know, he's kind of shallowed out his wedges finally a little bit. I think his distance control has improved. I mean, we know he's not afraid to win. Cameron Champ have a chance? Top 20, buy or sell, or sprinkle a little?
So you must have been reading my mind, because when I alluded to a middle tier guy that was going to come up later that could win this golf course with his driver, Cam Champ was exactly who I was thinking of. I saw him last week live. I saw who he's working with the putter, and he has been for about a year now, and that's why we're seeing improvements with the flat stick, right?
And who's that?
John Graham.
Yep.
So he has a plan on the greens to try to keep up with that ball striking. So much like you made the point with Cam Davis, you know, you're working on your weaknesses, you know, not necessarily, they might not be a strength of yours, but if you just, you know, raise the floor on that. And he's played this golf course well, he plays good this time of year. And at the end of the day, like, people love to throw names around, but some guys win for a reason. Right. And they don't just win once for like a guy like Jim Herman or Cam Champ. Like, how do these guys win multiple times and we never hear from them for like a year and then they win? Because when they get to a point on a Sunday, they're not afraid to close the door.
That's right.
Right. And definitely if you're talking to me about people in the middle of the pack and you're saying, oh, and you give me like 10 names, the guys I'm instantly drawn to are the guys I know that have win equity. It's a thing. It's a real, real thing, right? And if we're going to go over to Tokyo and you're going to tell me that the guy finished eighth there last year and he's trending right now, and I just saw him grinding on the putting green and hitting the ball great on the range in Vegas, I am all over Cam Champ this week, because if he hits the driver as good as like he and Minwoo, I mean, there's only like three or four guys in that field that, I mean, even as good as Keegan is with the driver, it's just solid and down the middle. These guys bomb it and put it down the middle. Right. It becomes a wedge fest for him. And he feels good about his game. I can't say that I'm all in on Cam Champ, but I like a lot of Cams this week. If you can sense the trend.
Yeah, you do. And you know, you go back to his last win, 2021 3M Open. He missed four cuts in a row. Then he goes 11th at John Deere, and then he wins. And what happens with Cam Smith or Cam Champ, my goodness.
A lot of Cams.
I mean, okay.
Cam Piercy.
So Cam Champ. What happens with Cam Champ is all of a sudden things start to feel pretty good, and Cam Champ will go positive 7 or 8 with his putter and win too. I mean, that's what happens. And so he's not afraid to do that. And it's almost like when his game gets to where he knows he can win, it's like the putter then kind of turns on a little bit through some confidence, and he'll go absolute ballistic with his putter. He's putting better. I love Cam Champ this week. I do.
All right.
We don't compare notes, folks. And and it's pretty scary, actually, how aligned we are here so far to this point.
Well, all right. Take a guess at Shriners what his best strokes gained category was last week.
Putter. Yeah. It was his putter and short game.
Putter and short game. Mm-hmm. Right. And don't get me wrong, everything else was positive, but his putter and short game, when you start to raise the floor on your weaknesses, I mean, then you got to raise the ceiling.
Yep.
I mean, you need more room, right? And I'm telling you that guy obviously likes this golf course too. So anyway, in the middle there, you want a guy with win equity.
Yep.
There you go. And he's sitting there at 55, right in that range. You know, anything you could push higher than that, but in a field this with 78 players, 55 is a good number with a win.
Yeah. I mean, you start looking at like win equity in the middle there, right? I mean, I know you like Svensson, who got a win, is playing good golf, but all right, you got Thomas Dietrich close to odds, 55-1. I mean, that guy will run up the board and get to the final round and he sees a ghost. I mean, he's the opposite of Cameron Champ. He'll run up the board and and start filling it up and put his foot on your throat. Aaron Rye. Alex Noren, JJ Spahn. I mean, these are some of the guys that are around him. I kind of like Spahn this week. I you could talk me into a top 20, a little bit of a reach there with Spahn.
Well,
I think this is a decent course for him. But the point is Champ, he knows how to win. He's playing good golf. He likes this golf course. 55 to 1. Sign me up.
Just for quick PSA for the listeners. JJ Spahn lost 6, I think, last week with the putter, and I saw it on the practice screen. And the guy, obviously, very elite ball striker, fantastic. He's going to pop in all your models and everything right now. But I don't see how the putter is going to, even on a no putt course, is going to turn itself around to the point where you win.
Yeah,
where you win.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
where you win. You know, whereas Cam Champ is doing not only 20, doing the work, but he's
on top 20. I said top 20, not win.
I'm
not
right, gonna bet. I would sell on him top 20. JJ Spahn.
You would just because he finished -6.
Now, I just think.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to RBC Heritage -5.8. Missed the cut. Goes to Wells Fargo. Finishes 27th, and that's a damn good field.
He's a damn good ball striker.
He is. I know. Yeah. So I'm at the Players. Last year he lost 5.3, and then the next week he finishes 27th at Valspar, and then he wins Valero. So I don't know. That one week, sometimes you just go brain dead and you miss everything, and you kind of get down on the dumps, and you're talking to yourself, "You son of God, black teeth," you know, and then all of a sudden you don't even care, and so you know, it's just one of those days, but. His ball striking is good. I think you should bet him top 20.
I am no longer, Travis, going to talk about JJ Spahn.
Okay, moving on. Look, now we're getting down into the board here. So let me just go old school. I'm just going to start reading names. If someone you like it, tell me to stop, okay?
Well, wait a second. Yeah, I like what you brought up about Cam and Bo trending, right? Right. There's a couple guys.
All right. Take it
out there that I feel like have been trending. Right. And one of them you already mentioned, Svensson. You got to follow that trend. He's had 3 straight top 20s. The ball striking's there. The putting's there. Great driver of the golf ball. Definitely a golf course for him. We're overseas. We're overnight. There's not going to be a lot of attention on it. Could be the type of place like Sea Island that he could do some damage there. Another guy, so I walked a lot with Joel last week, and he played with Stuart Sink and Garrick Higo. And on Friday morning, Garrick Higo tripped over shooting 65. Like, it was the quietest 65 you've ever seen. And Garrick Higo drives the ball good.
He does.
And he could be the type of guy. And again, my point here is that I'm telling the Garrick Higo story or the Svensson story because these guys are trending. They're giving you every reason in the world to at least say, I'm going to buy on them top 20, if not a top 10. You know, I mean, a guy like Higo is what, like 80 to 1 to win? Yep. So you're going to get, you know, a nice top 10 on him. You're probably going to get 4 to 5 to 1, right? So probably 4 to 1. So, I mean, 3.5 to 1.
I just can't look past Higo's iron game. I don't know why he's not a more lead iron player. He's such a good driver of the ball. He's such a good putter. He's not a good putter. He's a great putter.
He gets hot.
And then his iron game, it's just a little clunky. If his iron game was just slightly better than average, it would, I'm in. Yeah. But I just can't get past what he does with his iron game. And I love Higo. I was on him when he got his win at 75 to 1. I mean, that was just feel like he seems to be maybe bouncing a little bit too. Instructors right now. I don't know. I kind of get that sense, okay. but anyway, yeah, you could talk me and he is trending. I agree. If he can get that iron game figured out, I certainly would like him. Let me ask you this. Do you ever, because trending is one way to go. It's these guys are bubbling up. Course fit is another way to go. right? And if you can get someone who they're trending and it's a good course fit, you all feel awfully good about that. But then sometimes, Keith, there's the other side of it. It's a player's not playing good, but you know historically what kind of game they have. And when it turns, would that be a player that would be of interest? So do you ever look at the board and say, boy, I know this player's not playing great, but I know deep down he is one of the better players when it comes to these statistics that may fit this course? Or is that too deep to give away for your secrets?
No, I'll answer the question. I bet it the long game. Mm-hmm. I will miss your Cam Champs misses four cuts in a row and then wins 3M. I will miss your Sepp Straka misses six cuts in a row and then wins, you know, like playoff at St. Yep. Jude last year. Like, I'm going to miss those.
Yep.
I get more upset when I miss Lucas, where I had him the week before and then he wins the next week. Right.
Agreed.
Cause I'm my process, I start at the golf course and work my way back. You know, I always believe that odds are like sucker pins. So I don't look at the odds board until I have to. So I am by Saturday, I am deep into the golf course. By Sunday, I'm looking at, okay, really, who do I know in my head that I've seen this past year, you know, and who's trending with the skill set I know necessary, who, you know, and I have my own lists and everything in play. Then I bring those people out. And then I'll look at recent form. Then you're looking at strokes gained, and then I'm looking at the odds. So, like, for me, I very rarely will pick guys I think are just going to wake up because this is like they won there 3 years ago, that sort of thing. It's just not the way that I do it. And we're positive, very good on the year right now. So I can't justify
that's the long switching. Game.
Yeah. So I'm long. I mean, this year, read the line, I've posted or predicted 1,014 bets and we have an 18.6% return.
Yep.
Net return. Yep. So like, if you're going to do that much betting, then, yep. I certainly, I you get it.
I agree. I think that's very well said. And I figured that's where you were going to go. And I think that's good advice for people who are listening and where some of this advice is coming from. So now I'm going to play the other side of that and take you and finish off this lead of where I was taking this.
All right, here we go.
Okay, because I don't publish Read the Line. I'm just the host here and give you some thoughts. And sometimes my picks win too, folks. So although I haven't had a winner and it's been a little bit. So anyway, let me take the other side of that. A guy that fits this course, but is playing not good.
Oh, here we go.
And he finished fifth last year. But historically, when you look at his stats and the way that he's usually a very good driver of the ball. When I say very good, probably closer to great. His iron game can be very good as well. And he can get hot with the putter from time to time. So strokes and ball striking overall, his strength is solid. But he's not playing great right now, and he's trying to dig himself out of it. There's been a few signs, and we're going into the long shot season here, folks, to give you something to think about. Hayden Buckley, 175-1. I sprinkled a little bit. If he wins 175-1, I'm going to Vegas, and I'm going to get a hotel room and just stare at the sphere.
It's $500,000 a day to advertise on the outside of the sphere.
Jeez,
right?
Goodness.
So you better put
we can't put Stripe Show podcast on the.
Well, I would just, you're going to need to bet like $1,000 on Hayden Buckley. but if you hit it, all means, we could do a company trip, you know?
See, you can't bet like this. You would never bet your full card like this, but it happens. It happens. This is the way long shots come in.
Yeah.
And so that's my super bomber. I'm going over the long haul. What are his strengths? We haven't seen it as of late. And, he made the cut at Shriners. Now we go over to Japan and all of a sudden he has some really good, you know, some good sushi and, you know, and all of a sudden he's driving the ball like he usually does. His iron game goes positive 6.1 like it was back in the summer. And then he has a great putting week, and there's Buckley staring you in the face.
I mean, he's an elite driver of the ball. I watched him last year at API, and that's a tough driving golf course. And he's a good ball striker.
He is, but he's playing terrible.
I mean, case in point, like to where you took this 5 minutes ago is
take
it like
us back the other way now and give me a long shot based off of real logic.
I watched him all last week, Joel Damon.
Okay.
I'm telling you, because here's the reason why. Can you imagine a world where Joel Damon last week finished third in the field, strokes gained tee to green? Yeah. All right. He was awesome off the tee. His iron game was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And his putter has just been average, right? It's just like just been just below or just above, but he's playing really, really well. And he feels good about his ball striking and everything. So at the end of the day, I feel like Joel is the type of guy where you can totally say, okay, this is a place where the putter may not have that great of an effect, right? So him at 80-1 or something like that is the type of guy for me that I'm going with on the long shot on the long shot level, you know. So yeah, there you go,
but
Joel.
But see, that's a good point the other way, right? It kind of makes my point because Joel missed what 7 of 8 cuts. And then he goes into Sanderson Farms. And if I tried to convince you at Sanderson Farms that, hey, this could be a pretty good course for Joel, you would have laughed in my face for a top 20. And he finished 13th. And now he's got 7th at the Shriners. And all of a sudden, he's driving the ball like he usually does. His iron game looks kind of like it did back in the early part of the season. You know, and all right, now you make a case for Joel. So they snap out of it. And they become who they really are. And we've seen Joel now in the last 2 weeks. Now, you know, can Hayden Buckley maybe snap out of it? I'm going to play Hayden for a top 20. It's not just going to be a little sprinkle and win. But that's my long shot. But I understand your logic. They snap out of it eventually, and I'm glad Joel has. I think for Joel, it was probably getting a little rest and resetting the attitude, knowing Joel, knowing Gino like I do, and kind of, all right, let's get back on the horse. I know it's funny to say, hey, someone's got to make the cut and make a couple $1 million, but you're better than that. Let's start working. Let's have a good attitude, and let's get back out there and hitting the ball like you usually do, and he did the last 2 weeks.
I mean, his driver's going to give him an edge at this place.
Yeah.
It's a tough place to drive the golf ball, and it's going to be, you know, last year they had the benefit of it being soft. It was wet. It was cold. It would keep the ball more in play. You know, this year, course conditions are going to be perfect. The ball's going to roll out. So you got a guy like Joel who pops in U.S. Opens because he puts the ball in play. It's pretty good.
Yep. Pretty good. All right. Good stuff. Hey, good conversation. It's fun to kind of talk about, you know, different strategies and, you know, clearly what you're doing over there, Read the Line, is working. Let's get another win this week. We'll keep it going here in the fall series. Some more tournaments here. What do you got, like 4 more after this?
We skip next week. We'll see everyone in 2 weeks for Mexico.
Yep.
New course, right, though. New course. We're going to Cabo, not Chapultepec. So.
All right.
Or,
all right, buddy.
Mayakoba. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
Have a great week. Let's get a W.
Oh, man. Nothing better than being on a Stripe show. We'll see you.
See you.